Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I am Dori Shafrir.
And I'm Kate Spencer.
And we're not experts.
But we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
Yay. And we also like to podcast standing up.
Okay, we have a confession, everybody. This is the first time we've ever podcasted standing.
Yep.
We are both standing.
We are.
It makes it kind of weird.
It does.
How long do you think this is going to last?
I don't know. I'm into it.
I said to Dori, would it be weird if I did this recording standing? Because my, you know, as listeners might know, my back hurts a lot. Standing feels so much better than sitting for my muscles. So I just thought I'd give it a try. And then all of a sudden, Dori said, well, I'm at a standing desk, and pressed a button and her desk rose 2 feet. And now
it's
Dori is standing.
It's my husband's desk. And he... as he does with many things, he kind of jerry-rigged the standing desk. He bought this base that he saw advertised on Instagram and then bought a top and like put it together. And I was like, well, actually.
Yeah. It was made for standing podcast
recording.
Yeah,
and we have mic stands, so.
It all works.
It all works.
I did say it does look like we're about to record like some sort of 1980s special on Adoria's dancing and singing. You might recall if you grew up
a
in the 80s.
On the headphones.
Yeah, like a We Are the World type thing, yeah. Like Cyndi Lauper and Lionel Richie are there. George,
you know,
Michael, R.I.P.
When I was in second grade, my elementary school did a We Are the World recording. We are the world.
Like a bunch of children. Mm-hmm. I bet that was really sweet.
I had a
sweet.
Solo.
You did?
Yeah. I mean, like every solo was like a line.
Kind of like in the actual recording,
yeah,
of We Are the World.
Yeah.
Younger listeners, if you aren't familiar,
we still have it on VHS.
Well, please send it to me. I would give anything.
My mom will send it to you.
Google We Are the World if you're unfamiliar. It is a very crucial part of an 80s childhood, and
yeah,
I would say probably in America, but
for
maybe
sure. I had the album.
You were committed. Well, you were a singer on it.
I was a singer on it. I was on the album.
On the album. Dori, back to the podcast.
Oh, yes. Right. We're recording a podcast.
Friends, we have a page on our website. We're just reminding you that has promo codes for any sponsors that you may hear mentioned on the show or have heard in the past. Go check that out.
And also, just a note that it does help us if you just visit the URLs of our sponsors.
Just clickety-click.
Clickety-clack over there. And also a reminder that all the products and other things that we mentioned on the show are also always on the website.
Which is a good thing because I've got new products to talk about.
New prods?
I've got niprods.
New prods?
N'prods.
Niprods.
Niprods.
Cool.
I don't know. I'm just winging it here. Standing has made me say strange things.
Tell me about these niprods, Kate.
Okay, so I had the pleasure of visiting my BFF in Oregon.
Okay.
And you know what? I just first want to say one-on-one time with a friend is self-care to the max. It was really great.
You know, when you went, I was like, oh, when was the last time I just spent like 3 days alone with a friend?
I don't know when the last time was that I had done it.
It's been a while.
Yeah. Well, you've been busy.
It's true. But no, that's really cool.
Yeah. She lives in Bend, Oregon. And we just got to spend a lot of time together, which was amazing and felt great. We had so many laughs. We tried to take a jumping photo in front of a lake. That was just truly an embarrassing moment for all.
No, it was cute. I saw it on Instagram.
It was cute, except for the two Fisher people watching us.
Were they laughing?
That's my gender neutral attempt at fishermen, people.
Uh-huh.
They weren't laughing so much as they were bewildered. But you know what the nice part about being with a friend is? You don't give a fuck.
You don't care.
I don't care what they think of us.
Yeah.
But no,
Who took the picture?
My timer camera.
Cool.
We put it against a rock and then would go stand and count down. And then it was real cool. Two 40-year-olds jumping up and down trying to get a photo. You know, we did a lot of, first of all, Bend is beautiful and it's in what I think is the high desert of Oregon. So the outdoors space is really gorgeous.
But you like drive through a forest to get there.
I flew there. So.
Oh, you flew directly to Bend.
I did. Shout out to Redmond, the airport I flew into.
Oh, cool. I have actually also been to Bend, but I drove there from Portland.
Oregon's gorgeous.
Oregon is gorgeous.
And I know we
gorgeous.
Have some listeners there. So hello to you, your beautiful state.
The coast of Oregon is also magnificent.
Let's do a retreat.
Great. Done.
So yeah, we hiked. We walked by a river. We went to some lakes. We went to a very cool store called Wren and Wild. We'll link to it. They have an e-commerce site, but they have all sorts of green beauty products in the store, and there was stuff I had never heard of.
What?
And then I started getting very hyper. I mean, you can imagine, right? I was like, I've never heard of this. Oils, smearing oils everywhere. Just really fun things, like something called Little Barn Apothecary.
Ooh.
Which is from Georgia. I also discovered while I was up there a perfume oil company that I'm excited to check out called, I don't know if it's Mick Mick or MCMC, but I was just, every store held a new product for me to discover and spritz all over my face. And I did buy one thing.
Okay.
I bought this at that store, Wren and Wild. It is a toner.
Mm-hmm.
And it's by a brand called Iuna. And I believe they're in Spain, based in Spain.
Ooh.
And it's getting shipped to me. And it's like a exfoliant acid toner. It smells a lot like Ye Olde P50.
Uh-huh.
But I believe it is a bit on the, you know, greener side of things.
So you, Wren and Wild is shipping this to you?
Yes, because I carry on.
I
carry on? I did a carry on.
Carried on?
I carried it on. Mm-hmm. So it was too big and I couldn't bring it back. Oh, and I also discovered a new thing at another place that Bend, Oregon held so many exciting new products for me. Maya Chia, which is a brand I've heard of, has something called their Illuminating Face Serum.
Ooh.
That they had two different, like a pinkish one and a kind of a frosty pearl colored one.
Mm.
And it's like a highlighter serum.
Cool.
It was fat. I've never seen anything like it. So it was like an oil, but also with a shimmer. So I just put it on my cheekbones, but I think you could even like do an all over.
Wow.
I didn't buy that, but it's on my list. And I want to say that I realized something about myself, which is like the way some people like to try new wines and like have wine. What are they called? Wine rooms? No. Wine basements?
Cellars?
Wine cellars. Thank you. Wine basements. That's kind of what I feel like about face oils and face mists.
Oh, wow. Just those two prods.
You know, like a cream is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Mask is fine. I love, like, every time I saw a new oil, like, my whole body convulsed with excitement. I wanted them all. And, you know, I think, like, when we talk a lot about, like, why are, like, skincare and consumerism and all these things, like, yes, valid observations. Beauty industry, total nightmare. But there is something for me. I'm so curious. I just love all these little potions and I just want to, I don't know. I'm getting really excited.
I can't wait for you to start making your own potions.
I will tell you, I have thought about making my own face oil, but I need to do a lot more thinking. I also just got a new face oil from Canada that I just started trying yesterday. I'll report back on that.
What is it?
It's from a very small skincare company recommended to me by Joanna Rakoff.
Uh-huh.
It's called I Am Audra. IamAudra.com, I think, is the website. It's their N-E with an accent on it. It's a Quebec, based in Quebec.
Cool.
Skin oil.
Okay.
A little blue tansy, some squalane.
Into it.
Yeah. I don't know what's got it over me, but I just want to swim through oils for the rest of my life. Last thing I will say about Oregon is that spending time in nature was really I hate to say healing because I don't want to sound like a cliched new age woman, but just it was so quiet. There was no noise pollution. The air was really clean. You know, we have a lot of air pollution here, and also because of the current wildfire situation, our air is, you know, more polluted than normal. And so it just, it was very healing just to like be in crisp air in the woods near water, the smell of the earth. I just loved all of it. And it reminded me that I need to kind of get outside more.
Yeah.
So, and also just like truly being with a friend is the ultimate self-care.
It's so nice.
It was so nice. Also, we saw Tig Notaro live and Tig was so fucking funny. I could have peed myself.
Wow.
I mean, just so funny. We did a lot.
You did a lot. You had a fun-filled weekend.
Thank you, Bend, Oregon, for having me. You're a beautiful place. I loved it. How about you? What were you up to while I was touching snow in Oregon?
You know, Kate, I had a pretty low-key weekend.
Seems like a good idea.
I gotta say. I did sort of throw out my shoulder.
Oh, no. How?
I don't know. It might have been, I worked out on Friday.
Like in the gym?
In the gym with a trainer.
Okay. Pumping iron.
I pumped some iron. I did not pump any iron.
Did you pump like a little bit of iron?
I pumped a little bit of iron. So it could have been from that. It could have been from some sort of Henry injury. I could have just slept on it weird.
Yeah.
But like Saturday and Sunday, it was kind of bothering me. And that was annoying. Like leaning over was somehow really painful. But then I woke up Monday and I felt totally fine.
Oh, that's great.
I was like sure that this was going to be some, you know,
new chronic.
Yes. And then it was like totally fine. I've also been, you know, I'd said, I think a few weeks ago that I wanted to be reading more. I wanted to be going back to contemporary novels. And then I was reading The Most Fun We Ever Had.
Mm-hmm. Did you finish it?
I did finish it. It was very long. It's like over 500 pages.
Oh my gosh.
But I did finish it. So I feel good about that. And now I am reading Ronan Farrow's book about the Weinstein, all the Weinstein stuff, Catch and Kill.
And is it fantastic?
I am really enjoying it. You know, I also read She Said, which is the book by the two New York Times reporters, Jodi Kantor and Megan Tuohy, who also wrote about Weinstein.
And I believe were the first people to write about Weinstein. Is that correct?
Yes. Although as Catch and Kill makes clear, Ronan would have been first if not for the interference of NBC, which shut down his reporting. Ronan's book is more, I think it's like a more, I don't want to say fun because like this is not a fun topic, but it's like, it's a juicier book, I will say.
Okay.
But I think they're both worth reading. Ronan's book is only about the Weinstein stuff, whereas She Said is also about Christine Blasey Ford and the Kavanaugh hearings. I think they're good to read sort of like as companions, but it's shocking what happened at NBC. That's all I will say about that. But what else is happening with you?
Well, I did want to just hop in and say a quick thank you because I have received a lot of really kind messages from listeners via email, over our voicemail, even over Instagram DMs about their own experiences with disordered eating, eating disorders, body image issues, and it really makes me feel less alone.
Oh, good.
I think because I spoke about how I had secretly wanted to go on a diet.
Yes.
And I will. And so some listeners responded and said that they had felt very seen in hearing me say that, which is really made. I really, really appreciate that. Cause I mean, even now I'm like holding my arms to my chest. Mm-hmm. I get very nervous talking about that stuff. It's just a constant part of my life and my thinking. And I will actually tell you, even today I was having these thoughts and an Instagram post that I happened to be looking at the same time as I was like, from our guest today on the show actually really helped me reframe what I was thinking. Our guest Chrissy King, who's an amazing human to learn from online and IRL if your life permits.
Yeah.
She's an educator and I don't want to say power lifter.
She's a power lifter. Yeah, she identifies as a power lifter.
I almost said bodybuilder. And then I was like, I know that's wrong. Yeah. Power lifter.
Power lifter.
And is really just working toward inclusivity, body liberation, you know, intersection, like an amazing, amazing woman. You'll hear from her in a minute. But, you know, this is constantly on the forefront of my brain. And I just was so grateful that our listeners reached out.
Yeah.
I see you. We're in it together.
You know
it's hard.
What? They see you.
I know. That was so nice. Yeah. It's nice to feel seen, especially because we're just voices in people's ears.
Totally. We know that we're heard.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
But it's nice to also be seen.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, though, today I went for a nice walk this morning because as I texted you yesterday, I might be getting into morning productivity.
I'm into this for you.
And part of that was like waking up and starting my day with a brisk 45-minute walk with the dog at 6:45 in the morning, which felt late to me, to be honest.
Oh, boy. Kate has a gleam in her eye.
I do. It just feels like the idea of going to bed really early and waking up early, it's like it all makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Which you've been talking about for 2 years.
Same. I wish right now I can't do that because I'm still pumping and breastfeeding.
You're in a different space.
As discussed, I think I mentioned this on this podcast. I definitely talked about it on my other podcast. I'm trying to gradually stop breastfeeding and pumping. And I'm looking forward to kind of getting my body back and just getting some time back.
And by getting your body back, you mean having body autonomy.
Yeah, I mean,
you don't mean it in the sense of like get my post baby body.
No. Sorry, I mean having body autonomy and not being beholden to my boobs. Mm. That's what I mean. Not being like, I gotta go pump. You know,
not having your boobs rule your life.
Not having my boobs rule my life.
It's interesting because your boobs do keep you up later because now I get work emails from you at like 10:20 at
night. Yes, my boobs keep me up later.
And you never would email work stuff.
No, after but like I nine. Have to. I stay up till like at least 10:30. I usually start pumping at like 10:45,
and that's then late for you.
I know. I'm like sometimes I fall asleep as I'm pumping.
Wow.
Which is weird. You'd think you wouldn't be able to do that.
No, it's just like a soothing. It's like a white noise, but like a white. I don't know. White noise.
So anyway, I will definitely join you when I'm able to in the going to bed earlier phase. I don't know if I'm going to be able to wake up so much earlier, but who knows? Anything could happen.
There's this whole book called The Morning Miracle, which I downloaded on my library app. Something I do when I'm like, I'm curious about a self-help book is I go over to Buy the Book, one of our favorite podcasts, and I see if they've discussed it.
Oh.
And then I listen to their episode.
Oh, that's smart.
And that's how I learn about stuff. And
I listened to their Conscious Closet episode when I wanted to read the book.
I have not listened to that
one.
That's
a good episode.
Is it good? Mm-hmm. They did, I mentioned GTD, which is getting things done.
Yeah.
And they did an episode on that, which I just recently listened to, which was very helpful.
Interesting.
Yeah. They are, you know, they're doing the work.
They
so it's
are
like you
doing
kinda,
the work.
You hear their experiences and decide if you want to try it out.
Yeah.
But they did The Miracle Morning. And then there was another book I downloaded called The 5 a.m. Miracle. Oof. About waking up at 5 a.m. and starting your day.
Okay.
So any early, you know, I'm not a natural early riser. This has been a learned, like a very gradual process. Something about getting up at 5 a.m., having some quiet in the morning to like read or journal or meditate.
I know you're making it sound really appealing.
Well, the first thing, so I was listening to this, the 5 a.m. Miracle writer has a podcast. And the first thing this man said was like, I only do this when I get enough sleep. He's like, the most important thing is getting enough sleep. So I wake up at 5 a.m. if I've gone to sleep at 9. But if I'm going to bed at midnight, I don't do this because like, it's not worth suffering for the whole day.
Right.
So that was very like validating to hear that it's like, it's a practice like anything else, not
totally.
Like a requirement. But I don't know, something about that early morning. Getting stuff done.
Oh, no, totally. I mean, I know I'm more productive in the morning.
Yeah, I am too.
I would love to be able to be a morning person.
But you have like a physical life obstacle at the moment.
Now I do, yeah. Yes.
So it all could change.
It could change. Stay tuned.
Please keep listening.
Yeah. All right. Well, We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we are going to be speaking to Chrissy King, the aforementioned powerlifter, amazing person.
Extraordinaire.
Yeah. So we'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And it's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave, it's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30+. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like, zoop, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word. Don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you.
Our guest today is Chrissy King. Chrissy, welcome to Forever 35.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to chat with you both today.
We're very excited you're here. To introduce you to our audience, I would love to read your bio. Chrissy is a writer, a speaker, strength coach, and self-proclaimed truth teller with a passion for intersectional feminism and creating a diverse and inclusive wellness industry. She has been featured in Self, Shape, BuzzFeed, Shondaland, Muscle and Fitness, and Live Strong, among others. And Chrissy is also the co-host of the new podcast, Two Girls Talkin' Shit. I love the name. It's fantastic.
Thank you.
Well, welcome to the podcasting world. We're very excited to have you here.
I'm excited to venture into this space. We've been like thinking about this podcast for a while, put it off for like a year, and finally we're like, okay, let's just do it. Stop messing around and get to it.
Well, we will talk more about it in our interview because I would love to hear what you're envisioning for it, but let's kind of start at the beginning. You are a power lifter, and we would love to just kind of learn more about how you first came to powerlifting specifically and how it started to transform and shift your relationship to your body.
Absolutely. So I came to powerlifting through that. It was never what I thought I'd be doing, actually. I initially joined a gym because my sister joined a gym. I was not like active growing up. I didn't wasn't involved in like sports or athletics or anything. I was a book nerd. I loved reading books. I loved writing stories. That was like what I enjoyed doing. So my sister joined the gym when we were, in our 20s. Mid-20s, probably. She's a little bit younger than me. And I was like, what are you doing? We don't work out. And she's like, oh, I want to get in shape. So I was like, all right, well, I guess I'm going to join too. So I really was just following her lead. She got a trainer, so I got a trainer. Hated every minute of my first few sessions, like absolutely despised it. My trainer encouraged me, like, we're going to lift weights. And I thought that had no purpose. I was like, no, I came here to get skinny. I don't think you understand. But I had paid for the training. So I was like, well, I guess I have to keep doing this. And eventually I started to actually like it. It took me a few months, but I started to like it and started to see my body not only transforming physically, but also I was like, wow, I guess I'm not like a weakling like I always thought. Like I could see like physically getting stronger, and it was really empowering. But through a series of events, she ended up training at a small strength and conditioning gym that her boyfriend had opened. And when I started training there, I was like in awe because I walked in and I saw like women using barbells. They were like squatting and deadlifting and benching. And I'd never seen women doing that. And I was so intrigued by it all, but also had this feeling that it wasn't something I could do. I wasn't strong enough for that. So I kind of just watched for the sidelines for a long time. And she ended up leaving that gym. Her and the boyfriend broke up. And so I ended up staying there. And the boyfriend, I think he could just see my interest. So he ended up like finally was like, hey, we're just going to try this today. I didn't ask to do it. He just kind of like threw me into it. And honestly, it was like love at first lift. It was one of those things I just really fell in love with. And surprisingly, I was really good at it naturally, and developed strength really, really quickly, actually. And then eventually started powerlifting. And through this whole thing, I'm telling you, like, you know, a few years, I went from not being able to do even one push-up to deadlifting over 400 pounds over the series of a couple of years, which was like major for me. It wasn't something that I ever thought I'd be able to do. And so not only did I have a physical transformation, but more importantly, I started to realize like what my body was capable of. And I really fell in love with strength. And it helped me recognize that like my value in the world wasn't like in what I look like or how thin I could be or how small I could keep myself. That wasn't like my purpose in life. So powerlifting really, really changed my relationship with my body. And also being strong, you know, it's not just about like, wow, it's so cool because I can lift this much weight. It's actually about like, it helps me function in life. You know, I recently moved to Brooklyn and I had to move a lot of stuff. And I was like, wow, thank God that like I'm physically strong because it really helps me just like live a life. It's not even about what I look like or anything like that.
Chrissy, for our listeners who might not know, what is the difference between just weightlifting and powerlifting?
So weightlifting or strength, there's a few things there actually. So strength training could be just things like using dumbbells, could use body weight, like lunges, push-ups. Those all things would be strength training. Weightlifting specifically is more what you see, in the Olympics where they're doing like overhead snatches, and clean and jerks. And then powerlifting is based on three main movements, which is benching, squatting, and deadlifting. And when you're competing in a powerlifting competition, you are going for like a one rep max. So how much can you lift in that?
Wow. So in one rep.
Correct. Yes. Ooh. And so typically if you're in a competition, you'll get to squat and you'll take three attempts. And each time you're just going to try to do more and get the highest amount you can possibly squat.
Oh, God.
Wow.
That sounds badass.
Yeah. I think it's badass, to be honest. I do. I'm partial to it, but yes.
And what inspired you to start coaching people and working with people?
So I ended up going to another gym later and still powerlifting there. And it was honestly my trainer that worked there. He was also the owner. And he was just like, wow, you know, you're so great at this. Have you ever thought about coaching? And I was like, well, actually, lately, I've been thinking about it. Mainly because I was, you know, at that time in powerlifting, I was going to meets. There wasn't a lot of women competing. It'd be like three or four of us. Now there's so many women involved in the sport. But at the time, there wasn't a lot. And I knew for myself that before I started powerlifting, like, I didn't think that was something that women could even possibly do. And I saw how much, like, it helped transform my confidence inside and out of the gym. So he encouraged me to really do it. And so I was like, okay, cool. So I got certified, and he was so amazing because he let me train at the gym. He didn't charge me like a fee. He's like, you know, you just train your clients here. And he really took me under his wing and taught me a lot. And then eventually I decided that I wanted to start working with more women in bigger capacity. And I was already, when I started training, I was still working full-time in a corporate job. So I was training at nights and weekends, and really wanted to take my message online to share it with more people, and started doing things online. And it kind of just spread from there.
Well, I'm a follower of your Instagram, and we'll talk more about it, but you came into my life at a time where I was really learning, starting to do the work on healing my relationship with my body. And it seems like that is kind of where your work has led you. How has powerlifting kind of influenced, you know, what you teach in terms of body confidence, inclusivity, diversity, acceptance in the fitness space?
Yeah. So I think, you know, in so many ways, because for one, I recognize for me, and at least in my experience, my physical strength, like, beget mental strength, right? So every lesson I learned in the gym transforms and transferred into other areas of my life. And when I look back at, like, powerlifting was a very simple start because I just, or like, even strength training, going to the gym was just a thing I did because I wanted to lose weight. And it took me years to get, even after I was, like, powerlifting, I still had a very, convoluted and difficult relationship with my body, because I wanted to get stronger, but I was still very hyper focused on, like, shrinking my body, and I was counting macros and obsessing about every single thing I put in my mouth for a lot of years, until honestly I just got so sick of my own shit. It's miserable to spend so much of your energy focusing on what you look like and not being able to experience things with joy because I was worried, self-conscious about my body, or self-conscious about going on a trip for the weekend if I couldn't control every single thing that I ate. And I really just got to the point where I just had to get so tired of myself, because I was the leanest I had been as an adult and the strongest I had been as an adult, and I was still miserable. And so it was like the moment for me that I realized, no matter how lean I get, if I don't fix, like, my relationship with myself and my value and my self-worth and where that's coming from, it doesn't matter what I change. It'll always be something else. It'll always be 5 more pounds. It'll always be, I need to fix this. I need to change this part of my body. And I understood, like, it just had this realization that all these things I was doing for the external weren't actually fixing the real issue.
You're talking about having this kind of light bulb moment within yourself. And now what you really write about is that experience, and you seem to really be in a space where you're teaching others. But how do people get there? Because this is, like, my personal continual struggle of self-love and self-acceptance.
I think it's a long and hard road. And I think that's one of the things that gets a little confusing about the social media space, because we see a lot of people posting about just love yourself and I'm so happy where I am now. And then I think people get this idea that, like, you're supposed to arrive there one day and then you'll never have those thoughts again. And I don't think that's true. I actually think that through taking small steps, which I will go to some of those in a little bit, it just gets easier, right? Like, those thoughts still come into my mind all the time. I look in the mirror and I'm like, oh, you know, or your pants fit a little bit tighter, or you step on the scale and you have those thoughts. That's something that's completely natural. And I think we have to talk more about that. That's just a shared experience, and that's part of our humanity. And that the idea that one day it will all be behind us and we'll never have to think about our bodies again is just not true and not accurate. So it's really a process of always continuing to, like, develop and work on that relationship with ourselves. And so one thing I always think is, like, the first step I tell people is that we have to learn to practice self-compassion, because we're so hard on ourselves. I think women in particular, you know, the way that we talk about ourselves, the way that we talk to ourselves, the thoughts that we have are things that we would never say to other people. And moreover, if we heard our friends saying that to each other or saying that to themselves, we would absolutely correct them. But we show ourselves that harshness. We don't give our body the grace it deserves. We don't show our body the appreciation that it deserves. Because even if our body doesn't look exactly like we want it to, it does a lot for us. And it shows up for us in so many ways and enables us to do so many things. And so I think we really have to learn to just show ourselves that self-compassion. And I think a second part of this is also recognizing that we have to be really careful about the things that we're internalizing, the things that we are, even like, you know, simple things like social media. You know, social media skews so much of our mind, social media and just like regular media, internet, TV, all these things skew so many of our minds about what we're supposed to look like or what we should look like, or what realistic standards of beauty are. And I think we just so important to recognize that so much of that is just, is bullshit, and we can't expect ourselves and compare ourselves to people's best and then feel our worst about ourselves. And then this one's a little woo-woo and some people can't get into this, but for me, this is honestly what helps me the most. And for me, it's like recognizing, and this is my personal cosmology, is that, you know, like the essence of who I am is not this body, right? It's my soul, and I'm having a human experience, and this body is just allowing me to have that experience. So life is really, really short when we think about it. Like, we don't get that much time to enjoy these things and to have these experiences. And why would we want to waste that time? Like, about things that on our deathbed, we're not going to care about. Like, I'm not going to be on my deathbed and being like, oh man, I wish in 1999, I wish I dieted a little harder or had more flat abs or my body would have looked like this. Those are things that we're going to not care about at all. But we will remember the memories that we created and the times we had with people and the love that we shared. And so I just really think we have to really remember that and internalize that on a much deeper level than just the surface.
Yeah. I mean, you also raise an interesting point though about kind of body positivity on social media and how looking at that stuff can sometimes, maybe I'm projecting, but I think at least for me, sometimes it can give me this added layer of guilt that I'm not quite there.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. And like, I don't know. I'm sort of just kind of talking this through as I'm thinking about it, because I hadn't really thought about it in that way.
No, I totally agree. I think then, because what happens, I've seen this for so many of my clients, I've seen this before, is like, you see these messages of people who maybe are in bodies that are like larger than yours, and they're talking about like how they've learned to love their bodies, yeah, and embrace and all of these things. And then you start thinking, wow, like, what's wrong with me? I can't do that.
Yeah.
And so it's like shame on top of shame. You already, yes, feel bad about how you look. And then now you feel bad about not being able to get,
exactly,
to this place.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it's just because of shame on shame. And so I think we really need to normalize the fact that it takes a lot of work. It's not, I really don't know anybody who can honestly say that they never have negative thoughts about their body. And that,
right,
they, you know, it's just not realistic. And the key is being able to turn those ideas around sooner and catch them quicker, over time, not to like expect that they're going to go away and you'll never have those thoughts again.
I like that.
I do too.
Yeah. It's just like, this is a journey, and you're going to have good days. You're going to have bad days. You're going to have days when those thoughts kind of flare up, and that's just life.
Well, yeah, and I honestly believe it's a lifelong journey. Mm-hmm. It's something that because again, like when you look around the world, these messages are being thrown at us every day, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like we aren't, there's ample opportunities in every day to see something that makes you feel bad about yourself.
Yeah.
And I also think it's so important to recognize that the beauty industry, the health industry, these are billion-dollar industries. And the marketing is very intentional, because the more that they can make us feel like we're not enough, the more we're willing to shell out money to do these fixes that are going to make us better. And so we also have to recognize that this whole industry, both the fitness industry, the beauty industry, the fashion industry, is designed to make us feel less than, because the more we feel less than, the more we're going to spend with them to fix all of our problems.
You talk a lot about body liberation, and I was wondering if you could elaborate more about what this is and what it means to you.
Absolutely. So for me, you know, body liberation, because I think self-love and all these things are really great topics. But I think too, you know, one thing that we don't discuss enough, right, is that there are real implications for living in a larger body in this society, right? Like, and for example, one thing I always think about is like flying is not designed for people in larger bodies, right? So even if you get to the place where you're like, I absolutely love myself and I love everything about me, we have to still acknowledge that there's real like systematic oppression in the world against people in larger bodies. That's just true. We live in a society that's very fat phobic. The fitness industry is very fat phobic. So I always like to acknowledge that, because I think that we can talk about self-love a little bit short-sighted without recognizing there's real implications in these things in the world for people. But when I talk about liberation, I'm talking about just our own personal liberation, to be free from limiting thoughts or behaviors or self-imposed oppression. And so it means for me, it could be a lot of things. So I think about it from freedom for expectations. You know, so many times we put these expectations that we see in the world on us, right? From other people's expectations about what we're supposed to look like. I talk about being free to like disavow diet culture and toxic fitness culture, that want to keep us playing small, that want to keep us at war with ourselves, that want to keep us hating our bodies, and freedom to feel comfortable in our bodies and all of its iterations. Because again, I think this idea of like, I want to reach this goal weight and then everything's going to be perfect. It is really like unfortunate, because our bodies are designed to change. Like, we come out of our wombs as small children, I mean, as babies, and we're like designed to age. Like, it's never an idea that we're supposed to get to this certain look and maintain. And so we set ourselves up for failure by being like, this is my perfect body and I just want it to stay this way, without recognizing that our bodies are meant to change. They're always going to be changing. Key is, how can we learn to love and appreciate our bodies in all the different iterations that come up, because they absolutely will come up. And also I think, you know, I love to talk about food, the freedom to like enjoy and savor food. I think especially for women, we get in groups of women and you hear comments like, oh, I shouldn't eat this, or I'm going to have to work this off, or, you know, vacation calories don't count. And it's just so, it's unfortunate, because I think that we've become, because of diet culture, right? We have so in this strange relationship with food that we don't even think about just like enjoying and savoring and the experience of food. And so anyways, when I just talk about liberation, I'm just talking about true freedom in our bodies to be, to exist, to be present, to have joy, and to be free from all the things that we put on ourselves.
So how can people participate in the fitness space in a way that is not kind of adhering to fat phobic culture or focusing on weight loss and diet culture? Like, is there a way to participate in fitness? And you are an expert at this as a powerlifter, that isn't then kind of buying into all this like prescriptive culture, if that makes any sense.
No, that makes total sense. Honestly, that's been something that I've struggled with the last couple of years, working in the fitness space, because I do see so many things that are just so toxic. So what has helped me, at least as a practitioner, and hopefully help my clients, is, number one, I like to focus on, because exercise and fitness has so many benefits in our lives. And I think that we spend so much time talking about the benefits as strictly fat loss, when there's so much more to it. So when I'm working with my clients, I like to talk about, how do I eat and move in a way that makes me feel nourished and whole and energized? Because those are things that are really important, and not so much on the fat loss. And if you change your habits and you're doing things that make you feel good, and by default you lose fat, like, awesome, great for you. But let's focus on movement for joy and eating for joy, and also doing those things in a way that make us feel well in our bodies.
So I have a question, just as a new mom. I often don't have time to go to the gym. I would love to be able to do some stuff at home, and kind of on a very practical level. Like, what would you recommend for someone like me who wants to feel good about her body, but maybe can't, you know, make that time to go to the gym?
Absolutely. So I think too, you know, talking about postnatal fitness, one person that I recommend, like everyone, you know, new moms follow, she talks so much about all these things, is Jessie Mundell. She is a postnatal fitness specialist, but she talks so much about the pressure that moms feel, like, you know, postpartum, having to like get back into their bodies and all this stuff, and like that pressure. And also she posts tons of like very simple workouts that you can do at home. She's using body weights or using dumbbells. So honestly, that's what I would suggest. You know, new, I don't have children. I can't imagine being a new mom and trying to make it to the gym. That just seems like it would be out of the realm of possibility for me. I can't even think about that. So I say, you know, if you have 10 or 15 minutes where you can just sneak in like a simple body weight circuit, which could be just like some push-ups, like, you know, from your knees or whatever modifications you need to do, and then some body weight squats, and just like some like stationary lunges or walking lunges and play, depending on how much space you have, and just create a very simple circuit with the plan of doing it for like 15 minutes if you have 15 minutes to squeeze in. And then secondly, you know, depending on where you live and location and weather, I think one of the things that we overlook in terms of fitness the most that is such an easy way to get some movement and has so many benefits for our body is just walking. Mm-hmm. And so like if you can get out and walk for 15 minutes or 20 minutes, and I tell this to clients all the time, if you have no time to go to the gym, if you have no time to exercise, or if you just don't feel like whatever, you don't feel like doing it that day, just get out and walk. It clears your mind. It does so much for your hormones, and it has so many benefits for the body.
That's, I always overlook walking.
Yeah. Same.
It's like the first thing I don't do.
Yeah.
Chrissy, what does self-care look like and mean to you? And what is it in terms of a practice in your life?
Yeah, I think I love, that, you know, I feel like self-care is becoming something that we are talking about more, which I think is great. And I think sometimes, you know, people think self-care has to be something expensive, like I'm going to go to the spa or I'm going to go get a massage or whatever. Those things are fabulous. I don't do them very often though. So for me, self-care are very simple things. Like a morning routine is super important to me. So it's just things like meditation, journaling, and I like to do aromatherapy all the time, light some candles. And then I also like really enjoy just reading a good book. Fiction is like my, when I want to take a break and I want to take care of myself, I'm like, oh, let me grab a fiction book. And for the longest time, I wasn't reading fiction because I was like, I just always seem to be learning something. So it was always like a self-help book or like an education book of some sort. And then like in January, I started reading fiction again, and it's just been so refreshing to read for joy. So that's something I do a lot. And also walking, like I love to get out and walk in nature. I live in the city now, so it's not like as nature as I'm used to, but I still like to get some fresh air and clear my mind. And just, I don't know, I get a lot of ideas when I'm walking. So those are things that I like to practice a lot. And then sleeping, like I think it's so important to, I feel better when I'm sleeping well. So prioritizing sleep in my life is a self-care. And then also saying no to things that don't feel good and not feeling bad about it.
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, we appreciate you not saying no to this interview.
Yeah.
But yes, no is like key to self-care.
Yes. Yes.
Before we let you go, I would love to hear a little bit about your new podcast, because we have listeners of this podcast who I'm sure are looking for another podcast to listen to, and I would love to just hear more about it.
Oh, I'm so excited to share about it. So our new podcast is one of my really good friends. Her name is Sharon. She is a fabulous life coach. And our new podcast is called Two Girls Talking Shit. And it's honestly, it's for people who want to talk about like the deep stuff, but also don't mind a little bit of side eye, a little petty, a little shade. And we open up being very honest about that in our first episode that, you know, we really are. We have deep conversations all the time. Like we talk about all the things. But we, you know, we have a little shade in this too. And we talk about all of those things, gotta have balance in life. So we're doing a season. So we'll have 12 episodes a season. And our first episode came out last week. So, yeah, we're really excited. So tune in and listen. We'd love to hear, any and all feedback.
And where can our listeners find you also in other spaces on the internet?
Absolutely. So I'm most active on Instagram, and on Instagram it's I am Chrissy King. My website is chrissyking.com. And if you have any specific questions for me, you can email me at info@chrissyking.com.
Well, I can say, as someone who follows you very actively on Instagram and then writes weepy comments on all your photos, that you are an excellent Instagram follow.
you. I appreciate that. And I really appreciate that you read them. I know I can be rather wordy on Instagram. So thank you for reading them.
No, I think it's good. It's almost like a mini blogging platform for many people at this point. And I really appreciate so much of what you share. It has really helped me. So we are so glad to have you on Forever 35. And thank you so much for taking the time. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. I had so much fun talking to you both. And I appreciate your time.
You know, I'd never been tempted to take up powerlifting before.
Are you tempted?
But I'm kind of tempted. There's something, it does feel very empowering.
I will say I follow a lot of women who powerlift online. It's not something that I do, but I really love reading and watching their experiences. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, why not?
The writer Katie Haney, who I'm friendly with, is now a powerlifter. And just posted that she had like had a personal record. And I don't know. It's very cool.
My friend Caroline Anderson is like powerlifting and also doing a lot of kettlebell stuff. That
oh,
is really
cool,
exciting and fun for me to watch. So, hey, all you powerlifters out there.
Yeah.
You are very inspiring to
you
us.
You are.
Yeah. We see you.
All right.
Okay.
Let's talk about these intenties. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, last week you did say, what if I got 9 hours of sleep a night? And earlier in the show, you were talking about getting 9 hours of sleep a night. So how is getting 9 hours of sleep a night going?
I'm not there yet.
Okay.
But the intention is there.
Now, if you go to bed at 9 and wake up at 5, that is 8 hours of sleep.
Is it?
Yeah.
So I technically need to go to bed at 8 and wake up at 5?
If you want to wake up at 5 and get 9 hours of sleep, you're going to have to go to bed at 8.
I'm not
going to
be doing that because I'm still doing bedtime with children at 8.
Yeah. I feel like that might be unrealistic.
But 9 to 6?
Yeah.
Or 10 to 7.
Yeah.
Or, you know, 9 to 5. What a way to get some sleep. I mean, I 8
sleep
hours.
Sleep in 9 to 5.
Oh my God, Dory, duh. Sleep in 9 to 5. Oh my God.
Sorry.
No, it's so good. That is what I want to do.
Yeah.
I still haven't mastered like lights out, eyes closed by 9, but definitely by 10.
I think if you're in bed at 9, that's already like a big step.
Yes. Phone out of the room, yeah. Reading, just transition, like just it's transition time.
Yeah.
You know? And so I'm still working on it. The idea of it really excites me. Sleep, great sleep practices, early bedtime, early to rise. That's where, I don't know, that might be my like passion for the next year.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I'm into this.
Yeah.
But what about for the next week?
Okay. So you may recall I spoke about how a listener had chimed in about the getting things done
yes.
concept.
GTD.
GTD and gave me their way of getting things done.
Okay.
And I tried it for a day. It was did not work for me.
Okay. All right.
But listener, thank you for your thoughts. I tried it. It involved like writing things on Post-its and putting them on the daily calendar. And I once...
Oh, yeah, I saw you, I think, the one day you were doing this.
Yeah, it was a lot.
It was a lot.
I had to have Post-its with me. So in my kind of getting into this like 5 a.m. productivity stuff I've been reading about, I also started reading, like watching productivity videos on YouTube.
Okay.
And the one I landed on was about Google Tasks. So I went back to it.
Which we have tried to use before.
Well, they revamped it. And it's now, I find, much more user-friendly.
Oh, okay. And this is not Google Keep.
No.
This is Google Tasks.
Google Tasks, which works in your Google
in your
calendar
email.
And in your email. And then there is a separate task app. So I, yesterday, because I was flying so much and had layovers, was just kind of getting organized and watching these videos and trying out Google Task, and I liked it immediately.
Okay.
And the reason I even, sorry, this is very long-winded. The reason I even came to Google Task is because I watched a video from a productivity expert who doesn't like Todoist, which is the app I have that I have not jived with.
Okay.
Like I have not connected with. So Google Tasks feels more at my alley.
All right.
So I'm going to try
that out. This seems like progress.
I'm going to try that out for the week.
I'm excited for you.
So my intention is just Google Tasks.
Great.
Let's see how it goes. Dory, last week.
Yes.
Your intention was to stick to your writing schedule.
I think I pretty much stuck to it-ish. Like, I wrote on the days I was supposed to write on. But I did have a little bit of a freak out over the weekend with my husband about finishing the book. He was like, apparently he thought it was due January 1st.
Oh, it's not.
I was like, no, it's due December 1st. And he was like, oh. And then he was like, what do you need from me to, you know, make this happen? And I was like, I don't know.
Write this book for me.
But yeah, I pretty much stuck to it, and I've been sticking to it this week. So I feel like I'm getting there.
And I should say it's November, which is NaNoWriMo, National yes. Novel Writing Month. So there are lots of people who may even be listening to this pod, who are out there writing away along with you. So you've got the wind in your sails, Dory. You know, it's nice that we're recording the standing. Dory did a whole full movement.
I did.
Kind of interpretation of what wind looks like. Just swaying with her hands in the air.
You know, I remember once my nephew, who at the time I think was 2.5, we were in his backyard and the wind was like rustling the trees. And I was like, oh, see that? It's windy. And he was like, what is wind?
Oof.
And I was like, whoa, that's deep, man.
What is wind?
Anyway, on that note.
Okay, this week.
Oh, yeah, this week. So, a couple weeks ago, my intention was to get back into reading. This week, my intention is to get back into television.
So this is going to be my intention like next week.
Okay.
I am here with you. What are you going to be getting into? Do you have shows on your list?
Okay. So I'm still not caught up on The Good Place.
That's your self-soothing show.
That is my self-soothing show.
We got a lot of Good Place fans who wrote to us about it.
I know.
Yeah.
And we even got another Good Place the Podcast fan writing us.
Hello. Shout out to Good Place the Podcast.
Such a good podcast. And I want to give Succession another couple of episodes because, like, I feel like so many people talk about it. Like,
I know.
It's the best show that has ever been on television.
I need to watch it too.
And I've watched two episodes and I was sort of like, okay, but not like, oh my God. And so, yeah, I want to kind of get back into that. And then there's a new show based on the Tana French books, the Dublin Murder Squad books, that's on Stars.
Mm.
That is getting like mixed reviews, but I'm curious about it. And then The Crown is coming back soon.
Oh, you love The Crown.
I just licked the microphone unintentionally. Excuse me, microphone. And Olivia Colman is on this season,
so
playing Queen Elizabeth. So, very excited about that.
I started The Watchmen.
Oh, how is it?
I loved the pilot. I watched the pilot of Mrs. Fletcher.
Uh-huh.
And I also watched an episode of Modern Love.
Okay.
I actually got out of my Schitt's Creek TV watching.
Okay.
So, I want to get into some shows.
Yeah.
There are so many good shows.
There's so many good shows.
I need to break out of my cycle. Okay. Well, I can't wait until Forever 35 TV, our new podcast about the shows we're watching.
Yeah. We've teased a television podcast before. Remember we were going to do an OC podcast?
Oh, that would be fun.
Anyway.
I just want to do a podcast about like things Dan Levy says.
You could do that podcast.
Would anyone listen?
Probably a few people.
Maybe a couple.
All right. Well, listen, we love you all.
Yeah. How did we do standing today?
I think we did well.
I do too.
I think you had a good energy.
You really are moving a lot.
Really moving.
We sang.
Yeah.
If you want to offer us feedback on our standing podcast episode, we have a voicemail at 781-591-0390. And our email is forever35podcast@gmail.com.
And you can join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/forever35podcast. The password there is serums. And you can also join the many spinoff groups that we have.
And we always so greatly appreciate it when you leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, or you can tell a friend about the show, or mention us on social media. It means a lot. Thank you.
And another reminder that everything we mention is always on our website, forever35podcast.com. And you can follow us on Instagram at forever35podcast and on Twitter at forever35pod.
And Forever 35 is hosted and produced by Dory Shafrir and Kate Spencer, and produced and edited by Sammy Junio, and Lane Hammer assisted in the making of this episode. Have a great week.
Bye.